This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time now to say hello to Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon, and what a weekend for the green and white.
What a weekend for the green and white, or anybody who enjoys college football.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic weekend of football. For Spartans fans, it does not get much better than this, of course. They are now in the four-team playoff, only the second time they've had this. So it's a very big deal. And look, they're coming from behind the eight ball. They're losing to Michigan, of course, until that crazy last-second play, which they pulled off. Then, of course, they lost to Nebraska, a pretty weak team on the road, had to come back and beat Ohio State at Ohio State with a backup quarterback. Ohio State's not lost a game in 2 years, not lost a regular season game in 4 years, incredibly.
And they were losing until the end.
They were losing until the end. Again, 0 seconds on the scoreboard when they win that game. And then, of course, they come from behind against the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Now, someone in this room, I recall, predicted MSU would crush the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, crush, win. We're splitting hairs here, Cindy.
Spiritually crush. How's that?
How about that? Yes, that is undeniably true.
Well, that, you know, and they were. They were behind until those 22 plays for 82 yards and the winning touchdown. What did that nine-minute drive say to you about this team?
Well, first of all, to back it up for the non-football fans, usually a scoring drive is 3, 4, 5 minutes, maybe. This thing was 9 minutes and 22 seconds, you know, most of a quarter.
Wow.
I didn't know you could fit 22 plays into 80 yards, but they did it. So this was considered now, by the way. They're talking about this as one of the greatest drives in the history of college football. And it finishes, of course, right at the very end with just about no time left for the Hawkeyes. People are now debating when the Spartans run the 3 or 4 yard line, if the Hawkeyes should let them score with a minute or two left to give them a chance to go down there and score again. But when you think you can stop them, you got to try. So they did. And that was one of Mark D'Antonio's finest hour. The man is on a roll.
He is something. And that team, when you just see them all in, just the pulling together. And they have all internalized that reach higher mantra.
The reach higher mantra, they're buying it clearly. Mm-hmm. Look, they're 12-1. Five of the last six seasons, he's won 11 games. It's a very incredible run for Michigan State, to say the least. They will be, again, almost certainly a top five team when the season is over. And that will be 3 years in a row, the only school in America who can pull that off.
Now, I was listening to all the blah, blah, blah in the run-up to the announcement of the Final Four for the CFP, and a lot of commentators nationally were kind of riffing along the line of, well, if Michigan State comes in at number three, that'll be really good for Alabama, as in let Bama sharpen their teeth on the Spartans before they head into that championship game January 11th. And the betting line has MSU as 9.5-point underdogs against the Crimson Tide. What do you think?
I think they're 13-point underdogs versus Ohio State.
That's true.
Who's playing the finals again? Oh, that's right. Michigan State is.
Okay.
So it shows you what we know, obviously, which is not a heck of a lot. Look, D'Antonio's teams are, they live to be the underdog. They are not very comfortable, I think, when they're the favorite. Mm-hmm. A la the Nebraska game, when they're the clear favorites, they go in their place and lose. So against Michigan, they're the quasi-underdog, basically. Against Ohio State, they definitely were.
Hugely, yeah.
Exactly right. So these guys will be just fine, I think, in their current role. If nothing else, the game is going to be very close. I have a hard time imagining an Alabama blowout. The one weakness that Michigan State has got that Alabama could exploit is their defensive backs, the farthest back guys on the defense. In other words, vulnerable to the pass, not the run. So I'm sure Saban will look at his tape and think twice about going after the defensive backs. However, note this. Nick Saban was also at Michigan State. People forget this. Before he ended up at Alabama, and he did not come anywhere near D'Antonio's success. To his credit, he made a joke about this in his press conference saying he's done a lot better up there than I did.
He did.
As far as comparisons go, that's a very easy one. D'Antonio might be the better coach.
We've got that interesting storyline, don't we? The coach who jumped ship and the one who worked under him and then stayed the course and stayed MSU. Over to the Wolverines. They're back to playing New Year's Day. They're going to play against Florida in the Citrus Bowl. You think Florida will pose any serious threat?
Absolutely. Look, in a bowl game, you don't know. You've got 6 weeks off. Part of it is final exams. People get healthy again during that six-week period, of course. And you've got that much time to break down way too much tape. And these coaches have got a habit of doing that. So bowl games are exceedingly hard to predict for that reason. However, I do think Michigan's got the clear advantage here.
And, of course, so we got 10 Big Ten teams in bowl games. Big times and good times for the Big Ten.
No question about it. And, look, you still have, you know, five teams in the top 15. Right now, no one's close. The Big Ten has gone 2 years ago from being irrelevant to now arguably the best conference in the country. But the bowl season's got a lot to do with people's final impressions of your conference.
We should touch on Central Michigan facing Minnesota in the Quick Lane Bowl at Ford Field, and that'll be December 28th. How do you like CMU's chances?
Again, hard to call because now Minnesota, you've got a coach who's been there for about five games. Jerry Kill, their head coach, had to resign due to health reasons, truly. in midseason. So you're not quite sure what's going on up there. Minnesota can be a dangerous team. They basically had Michigan beat until the last play when they got stuffed, of course, in the goal line. We talked about that a few weeks ago, naturally. So Central will have their hands full, but it's almost a home game for them, of course, over the holidays. And the biggest thing for them is they're going to a bowl game. Now, they're not going anywhere warm. They're going to Detroit. But for any MAC team to go to a bowl game is usually a pretty big deal. So hats off to the Chips.
And hats off to the Broncos. Western Michigan's going to the Bahamas Bowl. They go to Nassau to play Middle Tennessee. How do you like the direction that Coach P.J. Fleck's taking the team, not just for their play, but recruiting?
I'm a bit surprised that he's still there, actually. He's so good at recruiting. He's so good at coaching that his name has been on the radar for other big-time jobs around the country. There are about 10 or 12 open right now. So I'm a bit surprised he's still there, frankly. But I got to say this. I'm sure there are a lot of players who have been recruited by both Central Michigan and Western Michigan. If you went to Central, you're going to Detroit. If you went to Western, you're going to the Bahamas. So I think you might be a little bitter right now if you're a Chip versus a Bronco, but nonetheless, good for both of them.
All right. Michigan Radio Sports Commentator John Ubik. And quite a big, big weekend. Lots to talk about in the weeks ahead.
More to come.